Blog Talk Radio.
Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. I am so glad that you joined me. I am excited about what God has for us today. I believe it's something that we all know about. It's something that we all believe we have. It's something that that we all may have. But it's going to be a familiar word when I speak it on tonight. It's very familiar. And my prayer and hope for you that's choosing to listen in to tonight's broadcast is that you will be encouraged, that your this word that I'm fixing to say will be renewed, that it will be restored, that you could begin to walk in it again, and that you could begin to see the manifestation of this word in your life. Amen. And I'm going to introduce that word in a moment. But again, I want to welcome you into the studio. If you are listening in via the internet, welcome. If you are listening in live in the studio, I welcome you as well. If you know someone that needs to be encouraged on tonight, if you know someone that needs to be renewed on tonight, I'm going to tell you right now would be the time to shoot them a quick text or send them an email or even hang up, call them, and call back in, because this is going to be an anointed word. I believe that God's presence is on this message on tonight. I believe that this message is ordained by God. It's a rhema word. It's a word that you will be able to grasp, section of, and anything that we can't do what we can't see. And on tonight, I want you to see these words. I want these words to become life, to jump off the page, and I want you to be able to see it. Oftentimes we speak words, and we've spoken them all of our lives, and we're expecting for these words to, you know, we hear these words, but they don't do nothing. They're just words. And oftentimes we leave out being the same we came in, because all we heard was a bunch of words. We were the service about on Sunday, and we say things, you know, we'll say things like, oh, you know what? It was a good message. It was such a good message. What was the message about? I don't remember. I don't know, but it was a good message, because all we heard was words. Our spirit didn't receive. Our spirit didn't get a picture of what was being said. And so tonight, I want you to get it. I want you to envision as I speak that you begin to see pictures. You begin to get an idea. And then you can walk out and do what this word says you should be able to do. So, again, tonight's message, are you ready? I have not spoken the word yet, but I'm getting ready to speak that word. Amen. Tonight's message, I'm going to do the drum roll, get the drum roll in. So when I mention this word, remember what I told you. It's a familiar word. But I don't want you to see this word like you've been seeing it. I want you to see it different than you ever seen it before in your life. Whether you've been walking with Christ 2 weeks or whether you've been walking with him 20 years, tonight I want you to see this word. When I speak it, I want you to get a picture, and I'm going to help you get a picture on tonight. I'm going to help this word become life for you. It's going to become a rhema word. Logos is letter. Tonight you want to get a picture, a perception. So tonight's show is on You Can't Fake Faith. You can't fake faith. What does your faith look like? Amen. Now I know everybody says, you know, I done heard a million messages on faith. I done heard it all. I know about faith. I have faith. I'm keeping the faith. And we hear people say, just have faith in God. Oh, just have faith in God. We heard that all our lives. And I want to tell you today that many of us may not be operating in the kind of faith that we need to operate in. The manifestation of God's desires and his blessings for our life. You know, a lot of us, believe it or not, are functioning in fear, not faith. And we're going to break that down on tonight. I want you to begin to really understand words, because words are important. As I told you, if you are not new to Processing the Pain or Coach D's ministry, you'll know that words are important. Matter of fact, John 1 tells us that in the beginning was the word. So it was words that form what we see around us. It was words that began to form the universe as we see it. Amen. Now, if at any time tonight that you cannot hear me, or at any time tonight if I become garbled or unclear, please, 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 dial 1 on your dial pad. For somebody that's listening in on tonight, if you know me personally, send me a text message. I want you to get it tonight. I want you to leave out of the studio on tonight. I got it. Because I want to hear the testimonies of how you worked your faith. I want to see the testimonies to come in the weeks to come. Amen. So, again, we said that the message on tonight is you can't fake faith. What does faith look like? So let's see what faith looks like if we could begin this journey. Follow with me. So first of all, we want to know, we want to hear the definition of what faith is. And faith is best defined as belief and trust and the loyalty to God, and a loyalty to God. Belief in a tradition, no doctrine of a religion, a firm belief in something for which is no proof, clinging to a faith. For example, you don't see it. Now, I'm going to take you. That was the Webster Dictionary of faith. But now I'm going to weigh that with what the Word of God says faith is, according to Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. So we know that faith is the substance. Now, I'm reading out of the NIV. King James says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So it says right there that we hope for but that we don't see, right? Well, tonight, and that's the truth, that's what faith is. Tonight, I want to tell you that faith has a look. Faith has a look. What do you mean, Coach Jen? The Word of God says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So what you mean that faith has a look? Well, I want to tell you that faith has a look, because if you go further down in Hebrews 11:1, it began to tell you by faith, Abel, by faith, Enoch, by faith, Noah, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Sarah. You got all these faith people, and it's showing you what their faith looked like. What was Abraham's faith? Abraham's faith that he was called to a place he would later receive as an inheritance. It wasn't really Sarah's faith, but Abraham's faith is that he would have a child in his old age. You know, Noah by faith, his faith looked like him beginning to move when God told him that it's going to rain for X amount of years or days, and I need you to do X, Y, and Z. We've seen his faith. We've seen what it looked like. Amen. Now, I'm going to focus on a person's faith. Now, I could go all through the Bible, and I could tell you one person after another person after another person who had faith and show you what their faith looked like. But I'm not going to all of these people of faith, hallelujah. And thank God it was a lot of people of faith. Today, my question I would ask you is if there was an amendment to the Bible, if there was an amendment to the Bible, would your name be in that Bible as a person of faith? Or would your name be in there that you were operating in fear? And again, most of us pray to God and we're operating in fear. We're begging God. We're begging, God, please, 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 God, please, please, please. That is not faith. That is fear. And we're going to be able to dissect between the difference. So when you get off this call, if you don't get anything else, you're going to get what faith looks like. Amen. And I want to focus on one faith. And then I also want to let you know that faith is not fear, as I said. Fear is an unpleasant emotion. It's an unpleasant emotion. Fear is the anxiety concerning the outcome of something or the safety of somewhere. Fear is the unknown. When you don't understand something, when it's unknown to you, the emotion of fear will come up. It brings about anxiety. Let me break that down better for you so you could truly understand. Let me give you a real life situation. Fear has a tendency to rear its ugly head when you find out something. For example, it's rent. Today is November the 1st. For many people, that's rent time. That's mortgage time. It's due. You don't have your rent money. What's the first thing you do? How many of us, when situations and circumstances like that come about, the first thing we do is panic? Now, I'm just going to keep it real. I have had tendencies that when something happened, I panic. Fear overtakes me. Oh my goodness, how will I get this done? Oh my goodness, how am I going to accomplish that? Oh my goodness, you know, the fear. Now you, oh Lord. First thing we say, oh Lord. And it's not a prayer of, Father, I trust you. I trust that you will meet all my needs. But it's a, oh Lord. And we go through this moment, this period of fear until we begin to understand, and we sit back, or we begin to be still and we understand. Do I trust you, Lord? So we're going to find out tonight, are we operating in fear or are we operating in faith? And I'm going to take us to a common story in the Bible, but it's one that always encourages me. It encourages me because these people have faith. And I'm going to bring you up because there's a lot of faith in the Old Testament, but it's just as much faith in the New Testament. So I'm going to take you to Luke, one of my favorite chapters, chapter 8, and I'm going to take you to verse 40. And I'm going to break this down for you because we're going to talk about two faith situations here, two different situations, totally different, but two faith situations. And they were totally different but yet alike because of the faith. And so I'm going to read there, and I'm going to stop throughout. But in chapter 8, verse 40, it tells us, now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about, now listen to the words because I'm going to magnify certain words, a girl of about 12 was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. But no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. And immediately, 2 hours, that means now, her bleeding stopped. I'm going to stop there. What made this woman think that she could just touch his cloak and she would be healed? That had to be some kind of faith. That had to be some kind of faith for her to believe that if I could only the hem of his garment, I would be healed. That's what faith looked like. Faith looks like that because she was hoping for healing. She didn't see her healing. She had no way to really know that she would be healed. There was no proof of that. And yet, she was hoping that if she touched the hem of his garment, she would be healed. That's faith. It's the hope. It's now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So she was hoping for her healing and the evidence of things not seen, but she had not seen her healing yet. Amen. And then I want to go back to Jairus. Jairus. He was a wealthy leader in the synagogue. So if he was a synagogue leader, I'm thinking that he was probably wealthy. He was probably accustomed to get whatever he wanted. He was probably accustomed to making demands and commands on people. And he went searching for Jesus in faith. Now, faith is not things they've seen again, but evidently they had heard something. Ooh, they had heard some things about this man named Jesus that made them believe that, okay, if he did it for the blind man over here, and if he did it for this person over here, if he did it for that sick person over there, then surely he could do it for me. And that was enough of them hearing about these stories, not even being there to see them in most cases, but hearing about these stories, that was enough to build their faith. And you know what the Word of God says, faith comes by hearing. So they had heard the story about this man named Jesus, and they knew that if only I could come into contact with this man, that man said, if only I could find this man Jesus, I could bring him back, and he could heal my daughter, and she would be made whole. And so based on that alone, the faith. Now, I'm not going to get into this tonight. I'm going to take this to another one, so I'm not going to get into that part. But the faith that they established because of what they heard caused them to act. Faith is an action. And, you know, and we heard this because it says in the Word that faith without works is dead. Faith, again, looks like something. Your faith should look like something. Your faith should cause you to take action. Your faith should cause you to take action. Your faith could cause you to take action. I'm going to give a testimony, and it's not my testimony to give. I hope that's okay. And if this sister is listening in, I hope it's okay, and I'm sure she would be okay with me giving her testimony because we talked about it a few times. But the testimony was, if she was in fear, she had been without employment for many, many months, and she was in fear that, oh, my gosh, it's going on months. I have not been able to find a job. I searched everywhere, and I've just been looking, and I've been begging God, and I would hear her tell me, you know, every day I talk to her, I'm begging God, and I'm begging God, and I'm begging God, and I need a job, and, you know, and finally, this is when the revelation came of the Holy Spirit was, tell her these words, and I opened up my mouth, and God began to speak, and his word for her was, is stop begging. Stop begging me. Stop being in fear because God is not moved by our fear. He is moved by faith. I'm going to repeat that. God is not moved by our fear. He is moved by faith. God watches over his word to perform it, that it shall not return unto him void. So when we are operating in faith, speaking God's word back to him, he understands that. He understands his word. He understands our faith. And so he told me to tell her, stop begging me and just start praising me now. Start praising me for your job now. Just start giving me all the glory and giving me all the honor. Don't you ask me for another thing. And that's what I told her. And glory to God, that was took place on a Monday. And guess what? On Wednesday, she got her job. Amen. Glory to God. She got her job. He gave her a word, and she was obedient to take the correction. She was obedient to follow the word, and she began to just praise God, and she began to clap her hands and give God the glory. And as a result of her igniting her faith, she got a job, and she had been trying to get a job for months. And I believe that tonight God is trying to tell some of us, you've been begging me, you've been begging me, you've been begging me, stop begging me. I know what you have need of before you ask. Stop begging me. Make your petition known and sit it there and then begin to praise me. Begin to have faith. Begin to speak my word over the situation. Begin to speak my word over the circumstance because I'm moved by my word. I'm moved by my word. I'm committed to perform my word, that it does not return unto me void. I'm moved by your faith. And you have to have faith to even speak my word. Because, again, speaking my word, you may not see what you're speaking. It may not be obvious. It may not be something you could reach out and touch. But you're speaking it, and you're believing it, and you're standing on it. And that's faith. You're standing on and you're believing. When you read the word of God and the word of God says, God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, you're standing on that. And now you begin to believe that. That becomes a reality to you. And even though you can't see it, you believe it. And you begin to operate in it because now you're already thanking God for supplying your needs. God, I thank you. I thank you for the blessings. Lord, I thank you for favor. I thank you for supplying my needs. And you begin to speak it. And guess what? Whose word is it? Guess what? Oh, glory. It's not your word. It's the word of God. And God is watching over his word to perform it. And he knows. And as you begin to operate like that, it becomes a habit. And as you begin to make it a habit and you begin to speak his word of your situation and circumstances, he begins to cause that word to manifest. And as that word begins to manifest, your faith begins to grow. It's like a muscle. It begins to grow, and it begins to get stronger, and it gets stronger, and it gets stronger. Faith is a gift from God. And if I gave you a gift, ooh, I don't know. If I gave you a gift and I gave it to you and you never used it, I never see you use it. You just, you know, I give you this beautiful necklace. It's a beautiful necklace. And every time I see you, you never have it on. You never wearing it, but you always complaining that you don't have a necklace to wear or you need more necklaces. Do you think that I'm gonna buy you additional necklaces? Do you think I'm gonna give you additional gifts if you're not even appreciating the gift that you got? Absolutely not. Who would do that? How many of us would give somebody a gift that don't appreciate it and don't use it, that we want to keep giving them gifts? Same thing with faith. It's a gift from God that we have to exercise. We have to use it. He's already given us the measure of faith, not a measure of faith. He don't say, I give you a little measure of faith. He said, I give you the measure of faith. And that faith is, and that's the Christ that lives inside of us. Because remember, Christ is inside of us. And if he's inside of us, it's actually his faith that we're operating in. Amen? It's his faith that we're operating in. And I believe that if we could utilize the faith of Jesus, Jesus had enough faith to get us through. Amen? So we want to start operating. We want to start exercising that muscle of faith. And I know sometimes we get weary, and I know sometimes we get tired, and I know sometimes things just don't look like. Oh, they just don't look like. I go back to a testimony. You know, everybody that knows me knows my testimony. I've said it 100 times, and I thank God for it. But I can remember when I was trying to have a child, and all odds was against me. All odds was against me. I mean, but it got to a point where my faith was weary, and then it got to a point where I could see it, I could smell it, I could touch it. I just knew, you know, that I wanted this child, and I was having faith in God that he was going to bless me with this child. And I didn't know when. I had been waiting years, many years. You know, I'm not talking about 2 years. I'm not talking about 4 years. I'm talking 20, 25 years. I've been waiting for this child, the manifestation of this child, and everything, nothing was in my favor as far as in the natural. But I didn't lose faith. I didn't lose hope. I kept hoping, even though I didn't see it, even though it seemed impossible, but my hope manifested. God was moved by my faith, and I began to speak the word of God over me. I began to speak the word of God over my womb. So I'm not teaching you about something I don't know. I'm not teaching you about faith because I don't know about faith. That's just only one area of faith in my life. I could tell you stories after stories after stories where my faith carried over, where my hope became a thing. I could tell you story after story after story. My whole life is about hope to a thing. Everything that's manifesting in my life that I could go back as far as I can remember has been a hope to a thing. It's been a mere desiring of a hope. And I'm not talking about just material things. I'm talking about peace of mind, hoping for peace of mind, hoping for healing. At 18 years old, I was diagnosed with cervical cancer. 18 years old, cervical cancer. Scared to death as an 18-year-old. That's not a diagnosis that should come to anybody, less known a child. And I was a child. And I can remember my mom taking me to a service at the Eagle Nest. I think it was in Tustin, California, somewhere in Orange County, California. And me not really being strong in faith at the time, I was definitely saved. I was a believer, a carnal Christian. But I can remember her taking me to this service. And I can remember me walking up. They said, you know, we want to call people up and we want to pray for you because we want to pray a healing over you. And now they're talking to just more than me. But at that time, I felt like they were talking strictly to me. And I got up out of my seat because I believed like the woman with the issue of blood. I believe if I could only get up there and if they could pray for me, that God would heal me. I walked to that altar in faith, and I walked to that altar in faith believing that I was going to be healed. And there was a song that my mom had sung to me, and I just started reading. And she told me, just sing this song. Every time you start feeling fear, every time you start feeling anxiety, every time you start feeling worried, I want you to sing this song. And the song goes like this. I'm not a singer, so I'm just going to say the word that says, I am the Lord that healeth. I am the Lord of your God. I am the Lord that healeth you. I sent my word to heal your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. Oh, glory, hallelujah. And I began to meditate on that word. And I found that word in scripture, and I began to meditate on that scripture. And I began to speak that scripture. And I began to speak that, and I began to speak it. And I walked in faith, and I went up there, and I went up there and claimed my healing. I claimed, and do you know, I was going back for them to schedule me for surgery at 18. They were going to give me a full hysterectomy. And that night, the very presence, the anointing of God, combined with my faith to receive. Because God's anointing could be there. But if you don't have faith enough to receive, you won't receive anything. And because of my faith, me being willing to step out on faith and trust God, I walked up to that altar. I got my healing. I went back to my appointment to get scheduled for surgery to have a full hysterectomy, and they want to do a last check. They want to prep me, you know, take blood work, do a last check. And when they went back in there, guess what? They couldn't find no signs of cancer. And if somebody ain't shouting right now, hallelujah, I am shouting because we serve that kind of God, and he loves people of faith. They dealt with millions of people. They could have wrote about anybody in the Bible. It wouldn't have been enough room to consume all the people. But if you look at the people's names that's been mentioned, the people that stories were focused on the Bible from the Old Testament to the New Testament, these were people of great faith. These were people that they weren't perfect. They had their issues. They were alcoholics. They were prostitutes. They were Christian murderers. They was probably cheating on taxes. Oh, these people was just like you and I, just jacked up from the core. We jacked up, and yet they have faith in God. They were just crazy enough to believe that this God that they can't see was more than able. They was just crazy enough to believe that this God that they can't see would send his only begotten son down here to die and be buried and rise again. They was just crazy enough to believe that not only did he just die, not only was he buried, but he rose up on the third day, hallelujah. They were just crazy enough to believe that. Jesus could, it was their faith, because there was people that did not have faith. There was people that did not have faith that was the Son of God. It's people today that don't have faith that Jesus is the Son of God. They have given him this imagery that they've seen in modern day church, this picture painted, and they've given him that image, and that's all they see. And so if you get the image of a particular gender, if you're getting the image of a particular race, and this race or this gender has offended you your whole life, oh, Jesus, do you think that you can have faith to believe in this? And so what I would even challenge you on today, for those of you that's being challenged with faith, because for you not to have faith, what you're saying is you don't trust God. To not have faith is saying that you don't trust God. And so I want you to challenge your own self and get in a quiet place and start doing some soul searching. Why do I not trust God? Do I even believe God exists? Let's keep it real. Let's get rid of the super-duper religious stuff. Let's just put that, let's put that hat to the side and let's deal with some real life stuff. Because you're not going to trust and you're not going to have faith in something that you really don't believe in. And we could say all day with our mouth that we believe in God. We could say all day with our mouth that we believe in Jesus. But our belief is going to show itself. How does it show itself? It shows itself through our faith. It shows itself through our faith. We have to be able to know that our faith shows who we are and what we believe. And if we're saying that we believe in this omnipotent God, this creator of the universe, of heaven and earth, are we willing to, do we really believe that? And it's okay if you don't. Ooh, God likes honesty. You ain't got to tell him. He already know. But he wants you to know. He already know. He wants you to know. He wants you to acknowledge that you don't. And if you don't believe, then you have to ask yourself why. Are you reading the word? And maybe the reason why you're not reading the word of God is because you really don't believe it's a God. Or maybe you're not sure that it's a God. And this is not a ridicule. It's okay. Because an alcoholic cannot get healed and made whole until they admit they're alcoholic. A drug fiend cannot get whole until they could admit they have a drug problem. If you don't believe or you're not sure that there's really a God, then guess what? You got to admit that. You got to acknowledge. Lord, God, I just don't know if you really exist. And if you exist, can you show me? Can you touch me in a way? Can you tell me something? Anything. I just need to know you exist. I need to believe. And I guarantee you, the God I serve, he will make himself known to you. If you want to know him, if you want to know if he exists, ask him. Because by you faking, you ain't fooling nobody but yourself. Because God already know when you believe, because if you believe and you trust him, then you're going to do what he tells you to do. You're going to operate the way he tells you to operate. And going back to the story that I was talking about with the woman with the issue of blood and Jairus, the interesting thing that I found out is that the little girl that her father, let's go with the little girl, with the father. The little girl was dying. She was dying, and the father's faith, he went looking for Jesus because he had faith that Jesus could heal her. So that just goes to show that some of you that don't really believe, and you're trying to fake yourself to believe that you believe, and you're trying to fake yourself like you have faith, and you know you really don't have faith, guess what? Some of us is only seeing some of the blessings of God behind because of somebody else's faith. This little girl was dead, and Jesus brought this little girl back to life. And everybody was laughing at him, it says in chapter 53, that they laughed at him because they knew she was already dead. And he showed up on the scene after he got to dealing with the woman with the issue of blood. He showed up on the scene, and they already knew she was dead. And he told them, nah, she's not dead, she's asleep. They started laughing like, yeah, right, she's dead. And we all know the story. Jesus said to her, he took her hand and he said to her, my child, get up. And her spirit returned. And at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. She got up from the dead. He brought her back from the dead. But she was brought back to life by her, not because of her faith, but because of the faith of her dad. How many of us is living off the faith of our parents, that praying grandma? Ooh, Jesus. How many of us? And see, now you can see why you're in turmoil all the time, why you in fear and begging God. Because you still living off of mama's faith, and you still living off of grandma's faith. And what happens with that is when you're living off of somebody else's faith, somebody else's faith ain't enough faith all the time when you go through a situation, because you need to operate in your own faith. You need to believe that God is able to do all that he said he could do. You need to believe that God is real. You need to believe that God can heal you. You need to believe that God can meet a need. And I'm not talking about frivolous prayer. There are some conditions. There are some conditions to prayers being answered. You know, the first and foremost condition is that you got to be a child of God. And some of us is praying to God and asking God for favors and begging God, and we ain't even a child of God. We never even accepted the prayer of salvation. We never gave our lives over to God. And giving your life over to God is not just a word of saying, I mean, yes, it's a word, but it's an action. It's supposed to look like the salvation. When you give your life to Christ and you're born again, that should look a certain way. What you mean, Coach D? Well, because I said, Jesus, I accept, come into my life. I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm confessing with my mouth. But to confess with your mouth part, woo! But do you believe in your heart? See, everybody stops at the confess with the mouth part. I confess with my mouth. Okay, that's good. That's a start. But let's finish this salvation process. Do you believe in your heart? Because when we believe in our heart, whatever the heart embraces as truth, the mind will support. So do we believe that he's God? Do we believe that he sent his son? Do we believe that his son came and died? Do we believe that for real? Because if we believe that for real, the next step is that we're going to have to believe that the Bible is the word of God. We're going to have to believe that God, that the Bible is inspired by the Spirit of God, that God used man to write the Bible, that he inspired them by his Spirit to write the Bible. So we're going to have to believe that that's the word of God. And then once we believe God is God, and now we believe the Bible is the word of God, now we can begin to operate in faith because we're believing that this is the very word of God. So now it has validity because my creator, the one who is the author and finisher of my faith, that could snap his hands today and I'm gone, we believe that, now we believe that. And so this creator, we believe now that this is the, when we begin to read the word of God, that this is the very mind of God. And now it becomes rhema for him. It becomes a perception. And then there's other steps that we take once we believe in our confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. There's other steps. You know, baptism is a step. Does baptism save you? Absolutely not. Baptism don't save you no more than you wearing a ring make you marry. The ring is just symbolic. It's symbolic to let people know your commitment to marry. Baptism is symbolic. Baptism is symbolic for your new life in Christ. It's going under, being submerged under water is a burial, and you coming up out of the water is a resurrection. And it's a symbolic outwardly sign that tells everybody your commitment to Christ. And God commands it. Jesus commanded that you be baptized. So that's because if you're married, the same thing. When you get married, man, how would you feel you married to your wife and she don't ever want to wear a ring? Oof. Women, how you feel to be married to your husband and he don't ever want to wear his ring? It's disheartening. It makes you feel some kind of way, right? So same thing. You've accepted Jesus. You now married yourself to Jesus, and that baptism becomes the ring. It's an outward sign where people know, yeah, mm-hmm, that's one of God's kids right there. And because you accepted him and now you're baptized, the next phase will be that you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And being baptized in the Holy Spirit is a simple ask. And that is an inward. That is an inward acknowledgement. That's something internally. It gives you power. And part of you knowing that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit is the speaking in tongues. Does speaking in tongues, will you go to hell if you don't speak in tongues? Absolutely not. But speaking in tongues is a manifestation that the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. It's your prayer language. It's a gift from God. And there's so many gifts that God gives us, and we don't operate in them. We don't utilize them. It's like, nah, Lord, I don't want that gift. And I don't know about you. I want every gift that God got for me, every single gift that he got for me. I want it. Lord, yes, give me a little, give me some of that, and give me some of this. Oh, yeah, and I'll take one of that. And I can remember, as I said that, I have two sets of parents. Anybody that know me, I have two sets of parents, literally. I have two sets of parents, and I love both sets tremendously. And I can remember Mom, too. She had this little thing, writing thing, and it was called God's Grocery Store. And it had all these different, you know, in this little poem, this person was walking through God's grocery store, and they were going to take a heap of faith, and they were going to take a half a pound of faith and all this stuff. And that's what that kind of reminds me of. God has so many gifts for us. The Bible is full of God's promises that he wants to give to his children. And we don't know. A lot of us, out of ignorance, we just don't take it. And you don't have to be ignorant. Children of God, you don't have to be. All you have to do is read his word. And his word will tell you everything you need. Not only does it build your faith, but it's going to give you his promises. It's going to tell you, you know, what the conditions are. Okay, Lord, you got this promise for me right here. What's the condition? And his word is going to tell you what the conditions are. And believe it or not, that a lot of his promises are promises that's based on faith. They're ignited by your faith and your obedience. That's another one. Obedience. We can't just walk around acting any old kind of way and being disobedient and then think we're supposed to be able to receive the promises. We don't reward our children. We don't reward our children when they're acting out, when they're not being obedient. Obedience is rewarded. In the natural, so it is in the spiritual. Amen? Obedience is rewarded. Amen. So tonight, again, we want to just know, what does your faith look like? You can't fake faith. Your faith is going to show. It's going to show in your actions. It's going to show in your words. It's going to show. And then faith has fruit. Faith has fruit. Because if you're operating in faith and you're walking in faith, then we're going to begin to see the fruits of your faith. The fruit of my faith in believing that I was healed was my healing. I didn't have to get a hysterectomy. The fruit of my faith, believing for a child, the fruit is my son. 16 years, that's my fruit of my faith. The fruit of your faith may be, it could be anything. It's not always monetary. I could go on and on and on, but your fruit of your faith may be that you were delivered from drugs, addiction. The fruit of your faith could be that you are now married to your best friend. You know, God sends you your perfect mate. That could be and you was believing God for a husband. You were believing God for a wife, and God sent them. And that's the fruit of your faith. And I mean, and it goes on. And many of us have much fruit as a result of our faith, standing in faith, trusting God, believing that he will do what he said he will do, believing that God will do what he said he would do. It says faith, a belief and trust in and loyalty to God. Do you believe in God? Yes, you say, I'm a Christian. So you say you believe in God. Now, do you trust him? Do you trust God? Because if you say, yes, you trust him, then you got to trust his word. And you got to stand in that. And so I believe that there is a God. I trust God. And because I believe and I trust God, I'm loyal to God. Do I always get it right? No. Do I blow it sometimes? Yes. But God knows that he created me. I'm his child. I belong to him. He said he knew everything about me. I didn't choose him. He chose me. He chose you. He chose you and you and you and you and you. He chose you. You didn't choose him. And he knew you. When you was in your mother's womb, he knew you before. He created you. You were created on the sixth day in Genesis. You were created in the sixth day in Genesis. Even though you wasn't look at that. Ooh. You were created in the sixth day in Genesis, but you didn't manifest for 200, 300 years, 400 years. I don't know how many years from Genesis to now. I'm not a theologian, but I'm sure that, and I'm not sure it's simple math. But I guarantee you, from Genesis to now, it's been a whole lot of years. So if you were created on that sixth day and now you just manifested this many years later, tell me something. Don't give up on what God told you. Begin to dream again. Believe whatever he told you. You might have been a little girl. You could have been two. You could have been three. You could have been 5 years old, and he told you you were going to be a singer. He told you you were going to be a doctor. He told you you were going to be whatever. And somewhere down the line, you lost hope. Somewhere down the line, you stopped believing that that could manifest. Somebody gave you negative words to combat or contradict the word of God. It might be now. You could be 50, 60 years old, and he told you something. He gave you something. I want you to start this business. And now you think you're too old. He might have told you when you was 40. Now you're 60. And now you think you're too old to do what he told you. He told me that back that when I was young. I can't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And whatever gifts that God gave you for you to accomplish it, those gifts are without repentance. He don't take back his gifts. So whatever he told you, you can still do it because he's still God. He hasn't changed. He's the same God today, yesterday, and forevermore. The same God on the sixth day is the same God now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The same faith that your mama had and your grandmama had that prayed you through, is that same Holy Spirit that's in them is the same Holy Spirit that's in you. What you going to do with it? You going to keep faking the faith? Or you going to begin to walk in true faith? Again, now faith is the substance of all that you could hope for and the evidence of all you don't see. Father God, we thank you for the word on this evening, Lord. I thank you for the anointing on your word. I thank you that your word is life and that it's productive. I thank you that not one person listening in on this evening, Father God, will walk away the same. I thank you that their faith has been restored, that their faith has been empowered, Father God, that they can now go and do what it is that you called them to do. I thank you, Father God, for this faith walk. I thank you for the manifestation of the fruit of our faith, Father God. I thank you right now, Father, that you are doing a new thing, Father God, that you are transforming, even as we speak, that you are transforming people by the renewing of their minds, Father God. Lord, that you are igniting them, that you are propelling them into a new now, into a new now. And now that their now faith, now, not yesterday's faith or the lack of, but their now faith, Father God, will be followed with fruit. They will begin to see the fruit of their faith. And we know, Father God, that they will begin to exercise that faith, because faith comes by hearing, and the hearing by the word of God. And that as they continue to plug in on Thursday nights, as they continue to plug in their private time, as they continue to plug in wherever their fellowship leads them, Father God, that they will get your word, Father God, and that word will become life for them. That word will encourage, that word would increase their faith, Father God, and they could begin to walk in the manifestation of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain. You are truly a blessing, and I thank you for your continued support. I pray that something was said on tonight that inspired you, that encouraged you, that has got you leaping in your spirit, that you now feel like you could do anything by faith. I thank you that you feel, that you feel it's important to tune in to get the word. I thank you for listening in to this broadcast. I pray that you would continue to support Processing the Pain on Thursday nights, as well as Woman to Woman on Wednesday nights. If this show is a blessing to you, I ask that you share it with your family and friends. The word of mouth, the best marketing is the word of mouth. So just continue to tell people to tune in to Processing the Pain if it's been a blessing to you. Again, I thank each and every one of you for tuning in on tonight. Know that you are loved and appreciated. Have a good night. See you next week.